Welcome to Stronger Than Failure, where we provide you with in-depth interviews with entrepreneurs on their struggles, victories, goals, and how they got started. We also give you the best tips, hacks, and information on sales, network marketing, credit, and mindset mastery. Now, here's your host, entrepreneur and author, Danny Cole.
What's up, Stronger Nation, and welcome back to another episode of Stronger Than Failure. I am your host, Danny Cole, and with me is Blake, making America great and healthcare affordable, one sick person at a time, Barber.
We need video so they can see me flexing.
Shoot, you're going to bring everybody, and everybody's going to be faking sick to come in to see you. It's like, oh, I think I got a temperature.
I'm hot like in that. Here.
Yeah. They'll start playing that song.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, goodness. Lord. They're going to be coming to see you.
All right, moving along.
All right, moving along. Well, folks, we just want to tell you, thank you for tuning in. Thank you for being part of the family. We love you. We appreciate you. And we're going to bring you a great show today. On today's show, we've got owner of Leaf and Bean Coffee Shop over in Noonan, Georgia, Cher McWilliams.
Thank you for having me.
And she's going to be on the show. You're going to get to hear her story, how she got started, some struggles she's faced, what she overcame, and much more. But first, before we get started, Blake, you already know the deal, dude. People want to know. Your fans want to know. What's up with you?
Man, I'm just trying to be like you, baby. I'm just trying to dabble in all sorts of different businesses. But I do have a question because, you know, I have been told that if you are a jack of many trades, you can't be an expert at any of them. What's your opinion on that now that you are dabbling?
Oh, well, you dabble over here and there. And I don't know who made that up. I didn't make that up. You know what I mean? I mean, in my humble opinion, amazing.
It was somebody who never did it, right?
Exactly.
Or did it and failed.
But yeah, yeah. Some people are coaches. Some people are players. Get in the game if you're a player,
ooh,
baby.
I like that.
Yeah.
Can I borrow that? Can I get that on a T-shirt?
All yours. All right. All yours. I'll put on a T-shirt for you.
I'm going to tattoo it on my back.
Speaking of T-shirts, do you have the T-shirt?
Man, you know what? I walked out, and I was running a little late, and I forgot. I was going back in and get one. But you know what? I'm going to get one. I may, after the show, I'll go get you one.
All right. There we go.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to need one of your – you got Stronger Than Failure shirt. Mm-hmm. I'm going to need one of yours.
You're going to get one.
Hoorah.
Tonight.
There we go.
Yes, sir.
All right, done. All right, folks. We're about to jump right into it because we want to know what's going on with Cher, with her business. And there's a lot going on with this lady here. So, Cher, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for coming in. So, now, real quick, I know right before the show, I asked you, how long have you had the business for? Because I've known you for a little while now, and I was surprised at how quickly time has flown. Now, so how long have you had your business, Leaf and Bean?
We just celebrated 6 years this month. We're still in January, right? Yeah, sorry.
Yeah.
It's flying by. But yeah, January was our 6-year anniversary.
And congrats on that. Happy anniversary.
Thank you. We're very excited to be, able to say that we made it to 6 years. Like, who would have known?
The thing is, a lot of businesses, I think it's if I'm not mistaken, of what I read before, it's, it's at the 2-year mark. Within 2 years, if you make it, you should do well. You should continue doing well, but it's the make or break mark.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting you say that because the first lease I actually signed was a 2-year lease because I was very skeptical about how's it going to go and what was going to happen. And I actually bought into a failing business. So I was really, really concerned about what was going to happen. So once we got past that 2 years, we did another 5-year. And now we're about to sign another 5 or 10. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah.
I know. Oh.
Now, quick question. You said something that kind of perked me up. You said you bought into a failing business. So Leaf and Bean, it was a failing business to begin with. And what was going on there?
So Leaf and Bean was a coffee shop for now 16 years probably, but for 10 years prior to me being the owner, it was open under a couple of different names, Gallery Row and then Espresso Lane, and then I rebranded it into Leaf and Bean when I bought it. So it had been a coffee shop for quite some time, but I guess for different factors, business wasn't being successful, so it kept passing hands, and like every 2 years someone new was buying the business. So I had 5 owners in 10 years, and then I was the 5th owner, I believe, and the one that's been there now the longest, so I'm excited about that.
So I would like to step in for just a second because I live in her community, so I'm very familiar with that area, and this is news to me. The Leaf and Bean, I had no idea. Now, when you say you bought into a failing business, it was the same location.
Yes, exactly.
There's, all of these little small towns that have their own little court square type area, mm-hmm. their courthouse with all the little shops around there. And that's where she was. And I did not know that. I don't go to that area much because I'm based on the other side of town. but I do see her in the local marketing, and there is, you know, the local business owners, you know, there's a few of their little, I'm using air quotes over here, favorite restaurants and hangouts and places mm-hmm. to go, and Leaf and Bean is one of them. So you know, that's one of the things, you know, I'd like to get in with her is her marketing strategy, because whatever it's working, it's but truly organic. I mean, that's one of my favorite things, and we've had several of these on our show, but one of my favorite all-time favorite business owners are people who are truly organic like this, who just get some sort of idea, and you wouldn't ordinarily think that it's going to, like, she even kind of surprised herself. You wouldn't think it's ordinarily going to be such a big hit, but here it is 6 years later, and she's running towards the end zone. So that's one thing that if we could get about 2 or 3 minutes, I'd like to focus on her marketing strategy.
Well, and I think too, what you just said is so important, like organic, like what are you comfortable doing? What makes you excited to go to work? Like, if it's not something that you truly enjoy doing and you don't love doing it, you're not passionate about it, it's not going to be an easy fit for you. So I actually love going to work every day. Like, I mean, for the past 6 years, there are sometimes I dread it, don't get me wrong, but you know, for the most part, I'm always happy to go, and I'm always happy to see the people there, and it makes me feel good to be there. So it's definitely, I guess that same word just keeps coming back now that you put it in my brain now, organic. Mm-hmm. It's just like, it's got to be a good fit, it's got to be a natural fit, and that's what makes things, you know, successful, I feel like.
No, you're Agreed. Absolutely right. Yeah, absolutely right. You got to enjoy what you do, and if it's a passion of yours and you really enjoy it, it'll come out in the way you handle your customers, the way you handle your business, and it will have a repeat business. And so, yeah, kind of what Blake was saying, because my sister, I was telling her, you know, I was talking to her this morning about I was going to be on the show, and I was telling my mom earlier, and my mom says, yeah, you know, your sister goes there all the time, she loves it, my little niece, she goes there and is, like, able to read books and just hang out. So like Blake was saying, like, how do you normally market it, and how did you in the beginning market it, and what are you doing now, because you do have a large following.
Wow, that's a really good question, too, because, you know, like I said, I bought into a failing business, so, like, you know, my money was extremely tight, and spending money on that when you're already like, is this going to work? Is it not going to work? Mm-hmm. You're already scratching your head trying to figure it out. Like, it's a lot.
Can we back up just a little bit before that, do a little bit of a prequel, because I'm very curious in this as well, and then we'll kind of follow the timeline. So, you know, number one, what did you do beforehand? Is this kind of your background? Number two, what made you decide to buy into a failing business? I mean, was it a great deal or
good question?
So if you'll kind of run with that ball, I'd love to hear the story.
Yeah, sorry. Let's start from the beginning, I guess. There's so much information. Actually, my background was in healthcare as well. So I did 20 years in the medical field. Radiology was my specialty. Did lots of radiography procedures, traveled around the country doing radiography stuff because I was also a manufacturer rep for a while. But I really was getting called to do something more. I really wanted to get into more of a natural field. I just didn't know what shape I wanted to take it. So I went through nutrition school too, and I was thinking about like opening a cafe that was more on the healthy side, and you know, just kept trying to figure out like what it was I really wanted to do with my passion. I was great at doing radiology and I love my patients and I love being there, but there was something still in me that said, you need to do something else. Like, what is it that's driving you? And strangely enough, I went away for a yoga certification, which I also, Danny knows, did have a yoga mm-hmm. training. That's how I met Danny.
Love doing a yoga class, just so you know.
Wait a minute. You met this guy in a yoga class?
I was teaching him yoga.
Mm-hmm. Story amazing. For another day.
I'm amazing, morning. Baby. I told you I do it all. I learned yoga from this lady here.
I talk about somebody who wears a lot of hats. Me too. I've worn a lot of them. I mean, it's easy to like just try to figure out like where your niche kind of is. So anyway, I was away for 3 weeks in Mexico learning to be a yoga instructor and just getting my head right, which was a great experience. I recommend it to anybody who wants to change their career. And then when I came back from that, I really was still interested in maybe doing some kind of cafe or some kind of healthy cafe because I really felt drawn to like having people eat healthy. And then I saw the coffee shop was up for sale, and I'm like, maybe that would be kind of a good fit for me. I don't really know, you know, and I feel like, too, like Danny said, what's the thing that's kind of driven you to do this? And I'm like, sometimes you just really have to be open to opportunities, not even knowing that that's going to be, like, that was what you were going to do. I wasn't like an 8-year-old child being like, I can't wait to own my own business and have a restaurant. Like, I never thought this was what I was going to do with my life, but, you know, the door opened up, and it was a good fit, and the business was struggling, but I just felt like, I can revive this. I can make this better. I think this is just needs some help. It needs somebody who actually loves the business that they're in. And no offense to the person who sold the business to me, but they really just didn't have their heart 100% into it. So if you're not really in, you have to be in whatever you're doing. Be 110% in, because that's what's going to make you successful.
Now, were you already a patron of the business? I mean, were you familiar with the owner? Did you know this person?
Honestly, I did not. I didn't know a whole lot about it. I really used to not even drink coffee, but now I really love
it. Oh my gosh, I'm shocked, because I worked in the hospital for years and years and years and years, and that's one thing that's a commonality amongst hospital workers, is they suck down coffee. Yeah.
Like, well, let me take that back. Then I used to drink a whole lot of coffee, and then I went through nutrition school and realized I was drinking a lot too much coffee. And so now I know, like, I can have a little, not too much, but just moderate it, like everything in moderation mostly. But I was a sucker for that really terrible coffee in the break room at the hospital. You'll do anything at 3 a.m. to stay awake.
To stay awake, yeah. Because I'll do those 12-hour shifts that y'all know about.
It can be brutal.
These are the shifts where you work around beds, right?
You get it, what I do.
I'm just hating over here. Ignore me. So anyway, moving along.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. Have I answered the question you guys?
Oh, yeah. And so then you decided to purchase. Now, then that's another question that a lot of our listeners are curious. Financing. Did you finance? Did you pay out of pocket? How did you fund the purchase?
Right. Well, that's another great question too, because like as I was negotiating this situation, again, it's really good to just pay attention to opportunities that are there in front of you. The person that owned the business was in a long-term lease and they were having trouble getting out of it. So, you know, we were just trying to all work together with the landlord and this and that, you know, just trying to figure out what the actual lease was going to look like. So in the end, like, the landlords came to me and said, hey, we're just going to roll all the equipment. Everything's going to be turnkey. We're going to give you all this. But the rent's going to be this. And it was a little more than I was wanting to pay. But in the end, I thought, well, good. I don't have to at least pay for all this equipment. And a lot of the equipment was, you know, old, too. I mean, it was there from the beginning of the business, so 10 years. So since that time, in the past 6 years, I've literally replaced every refrigerator, freezer, ice cream machine, espresso machine, everything you can imagine in that store has been replaced in the past 6 years.
Nice. So you essentially just took over the lease, a pre-existing lease, and
yes.
Paid nothing for the business.
I was gifted something. Yeah. I mean, it really just,
like, kind of blessing.
Just being in the right place at the right time and just being open to, like, hey, I know I need to change. Like, what can I do this different? Because even when I came back from yoga training, I thought, oh, I'm going to open a yoga studio. That's what I really want to do. I want to teach yoga. But as somebody who does have a degree in business management and marketing, I did go to college. I realized that it takes a lot of yoga classes to make money. So it really was not a way I felt like I could sustain myself. And even though, like I said, I knew the coffee shop was not, you know, making its numbers, I knew with just a little finagling, a little changes, hopefully it could be better, and it has definitely gotten better. We've doubled our numbers in 5 years, so.
Wow, that's awesome. Congrats on that.
Thank you.
And, you know, you kind of said something important. It's a matter of, you know, you had the opportunity that kind of blessed you with, right, as far as being able to buy into the lease, paying extra for it, but just getting everything for the business.
Right.
It's being open to opportunities that are out there, you know, being readily available and taking action. So many people have opportunities that come to them and don't step out on faith, don't take that initial, you know, step of action to get anything done, and then time's going to pass you by no matter what. You've got to take action, so good job on that.
Yeah, and sometimes you really just have to know, like, where is it an opportunity? Like, I had no idea that opportunity was going to present itself. I was willing to pay money for the business. I'm actually glad I didn't have to in the end. You know, that helped me out. It helped me to be more profitable. And even as you are, you know, want to know about being an entrepreneur, for the first year, I didn't even take a paycheck. I was working 5 days a week, and I was not getting paid. So, you know, the fact that they did alleviate that stress for me and allowed me to just start the business, operate the business, and show I was good. You know, even my landlord was like, oh, God, I can't believe I'm taking a chance on you. You don't know anything about this business. I mean, I didn't even know how to make a latte. I didn't know how to steam milk or anything before I started negotiating with them. And I trained for about 2 weeks before actually it was a complete transfer over. But for 2 weeks, I learned how to steam milk and what they were doing in their business processes and tried to understand where she was buying things from, selling things from, like understanding all of it. It was a lot for somebody, again, who came from a medical background. And even though I did have a business degree, that was years before that. I didn't plan on this. You know?
Like I said, yeah, you stepped out completely, you know, out of the comfort zone, something you did not know about, because you're going to have a passion for it, help other people and have your own business. I love that.
Yeah.
And then you've been very successful. So again, congrats. That is amazing.
And all of your great success stories say that your success is directly related to your willingness to educate yourself. Even, you know, Mark Cuban, all those guys, Grant Cardone especially, talks about still to this day, he invests all this money in his own education.
Well, and too, like, at least, you know, my business isn't so off from my own mission. Like, I still believe in eating healthy. I still want people to have, you know, excellent ingredients in their food. So we really at Leaf and Bean try to, like, focus on that. You know, all of our eggs come from a local farmer. None of them are, like, you know, they're all farm fresh. They're all, like, free range, and I know that, you know. We just try to use the freshest ingredients, cooking some things from scratch. We have lots of organic teas. You know, we just try to do the best that we can to provide for our community, like, healthy options. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, we live in the South. People love chicken, fried chicken, pizza, and burgers. And so, like, that is the main staples of the food that you normally get around our area. And I feel like in our downtown area, we really provide a service that is like salads and juices and protein shakes outside of just the normal stuff that we do. So it helps me still keep my vision of like helping people and loving on people in a way that I can feed them healthily, but also having this community center and having a successful business. It's really like, you know, a good trifecta. You know, everything's a win-win.
And that, I think, you know, for the listeners as well, your location is everything. And her location is that part of town. And I know that's a lot of these, because I travel a lot of these little smaller towns in that particular, for some reason, the older parts of these little towns, they have over time slowly developed this, like an eclectic lifestyle, you know, where people are slowly, subtly, but most definitely trending towards that type of habitual lifestyle. You know, more, you can see it's kind of a cultural shift where they enjoy the healthy eating bean sprouts and things versus, but of course there is the pizza place there, I think, next door, and then there's the burger joint, and yeah, so
that's all choices, yeah, you but, know.
Yeah. You gotta have your options. You gotta balance it out.
Can't eat pizza every day.
No, you come over Leaf and Bean and get something healthy and organic and have some coffee to go with.
Yeah, but it's just, I think the location, that it's just so many things came together in that particular location, because, you know, we always say that location is 90% of your market.
Yes.
And she's in a really good spot where, like I said, it's just kind of that culture. There's, and you can probably elaborate a little bit more, because you're there, and I don't know if you live in that area, but the residents of that particular area, it's kind of that young millennial success, you know, type that's into the healthy lifestyle. So yes, I mean, she's in a great spot. Yes. As well.
Well, and just to speak to that too, I mean, some parts of this, is just seems like it was just luck, you know, like, I mean, and again, just watching for opportunities. Is it luck? Is it looking for opportunities? Yes, Noonan was growing at the time that I was able to take that business over. The population in downtown Noonan is transitioning and changing from being, you know, people who've lived there their entire lives and watched the, you know, town grow to people who are moving in from all over, who are, you know, especially California, they love us, in Georgia, but, you know, people who are moving in from all over, who are like revitalizing our downtown area and making it more, you know, diverse, and, you know, having like lots of options for lots of different people. You know, I mean, our customer base is from literally 9 months old to 90 years old. So I have so many different people and so many, like, just so many different types, and it's really cool to see, you know, that, you know, Noonan was really ripe for this too, you know, like, again, a part of me is like, I wish I could say I had this great business plan, and don't get me wrong, I did work with the SBA at one point, I was really wanting to open a business, but somehow this just opened up for me, and I'm grateful that I was just there at the right opportunity. And sometimes when I say that, I feel like people are like, oh, is that overnight success? Like, you know, people see a superstar on TV, they're like, oh, they're just an overnight success. I'm like, there's always a lot of hard work that goes in behind that. Maybe it wasn't in that area. Maybe it was, you know. I mean, maybe I wasn't making coffee for the last 20 years and finally had a coffee shop. But, you know, all roads lead you to, you know, something new.
No, exactly. And, you know, and I think it might have been Grant Cardone. He said, yeah, I'm an overnight success. But he had talked about how many videos he'd done, how many free seminars he'd done, how many years he had to put in to become that quote-unquote overnight success. Yeah. People don't see all that years of hard work, everything she had to do for free, everything he had to learn, what she had to put in to become that overnight success.
Right. So, and all the hard work I did, honestly, for the first year, like I said, you know, like, who wants to work for free? You know, most people aren't willing to, like, do that or make the sacrifices they have to say, I'm not going to be able to really have any money this year. Like, oh, this is really tight, you know, but if I get through it, hey, maybe there's some on the other side.
Yeah.
And honestly, there has been, so it's been great. And again, I'm not, like, I don't want to act like I'm super wealthy, but, you know, the business is thriving, and I have
a lot of great
employees who make me happy, and long-term employees or happy employees, and I have had quite a few of them, so that's good too.
And so for our listeners as well, sorry, I don't want to cut you off. That's another very interesting question about employees, because I have the same situation, sometimes even the same destructive situation. Employees, how do you select? And how do you keep them happy? What's your retention? More importantly, what's your retention policy?
Well, you know, I mean, it's, you know, I mean, for my dynamic too, being a coffee shop, like, that's probably not a place that most people are going to come and be there for their entire career, right? I mean, for you, it's a little bit different, Blake. Maybe you got a nurse who's going to be with you, like, forever, because she's like, this is a great place to work. But most people aren't going to barista forever. But some of them might. One of my managers, I have three right now. One of them has been with me for over 5 years. So, and I've been open 6 years. So, like, we've literally grown that business together. She is my right hand. Sometimes we complete each other's sentences. I'm like, stop reading my brain. Like, but it's a good thing because you want somebody with that kind of level of, you know, like that you can work with who can help you to grow your business along because you need a good team. So outside of her, Tiffany, I do have two other managers that help to like bring things along. And just when I'm selecting, because I do all the hiring, I think about, do I want to work with this person? Because there are times I'm working there, and if I don't want to work with them, nobody else is probably going to want to either, you know? So, you know, I want people that are happy, people who are full of energy. You know, I can teach anybody how to do the job, but who wants to be there, you know? Right. Who wants to swim well with everybody else? Because if you don't work well with everybody else, it's not going to last. Mm-hmm. You know, like having that good teamwork, and, you know, they just need to know they have to work together and just pull it together.
Well said.
Very well said.
Well said. So now, when is your manager? Because you've got this big bodybuilder type over here. I think his name was Kevin or Guido or something. I'm not sure. Is he one of your managers? Is he just your bodyguard?
Oh, no. Kevin's just my friend. He's here. Hanging out. I told him to come see what this whole radio show thing was about because he had some stuff, interesting stuff about water to talk about. So maybe for another time.
Copy that.
Yes. Now, all right, going back to what I was talking about before, as far as, you know, you're in the right location, you bought in the right time, diversity, the whole dynamics and everything, demographics are changing. Mm-hmm. Now, going back to the whole advertising and how you're getting everything out there, drawing everybody in, is it mostly just kind of the walk by traffic because it's right there on the square? Or what are you doing to promote your business? Because, again, you got so many people that love you.
Yeah, that is such a great question because I feel like the marketing thing, especially in this day and age, is changing so significantly. Like, you know, in the past, people would probably do ads in papers or magazines. And I'm not saying that those are, you know, bad avenues, but for me personally, they just haven't really brought a lot of ROI or return on investment. So, like, it's not usually an avenue that I choose. Social media is so big out there and 90% free. And everybody's on their phones. I mean, Blake's even on his phone right now. So, like, everybody's on their phone all the time.
But I am listening.
But he is listening. That is true. But it's that double duty in it.
Exactly.
So, I mean, I feel like social media really, as much as people hate it, they love it too. They like to, you know, they want that stuff out there. It is really one of the best ways I feel like you can market. And again, it depends on your business. You know, how are you getting your message out there? Because for me, for a coffee shop, you know, putting an ad in a magazine, I'm like, do people even read those still? I don't know. I mean, you know, everybody's so much on their phone. You do read magazines?
No, I don't. Yeah,
you don't?
No.
I mean, I go back and forth because a part of me likes them. But I also think they're like cluttering up our world with all this like paper out there. You know what I mean? So it's like, I like them, but I'm less concerned about like, you know, junk and clutter and mass productions of things we don't need. So,
but laptops and things, they don't clutter our landfills at all.
Well, no, computers, I'm not saying those are terrible things. Hey, I'm still using, I have a 6-year-old laptop. I hold on to my stuff. I don't buy one every year. So I'm not the one cluttering up the landfill
with my laptops. Not me.
That radioactive material. No, the poor pages and books and stuff that are flammable.
No, and I totally get what you're saying. I hold on to my electronics. I have a phone for 4 years.
I'm just saying, well, I hold on to everything. Like, yeah, my laptops, my phones. Yeah, like, you know, it's got a cracked screen. Let's put a screen protector over it now. It'll last.
Hey, as long as it's working, especially because I don't like technology. So it's funny for me that I'm saying social media on the phones is probably the best way to do advertisement just because it gets your word out there. I mean, word of mouth is really the most important. You know, if you do go to a place and you enjoy that place because social media is so big, like, definitely make sure you review that place in a positive way because it seems like only if someone has a negative experience that they take the time to go, oh, I'm going to write a negative review. But, you know, you leave somewhere and you've had a good experience, and 9 times out of 10, you don't feel the same way. But you're passionate about writing something negative, you know, like a lot of times because you're so upset about a situation. But I think people also don't realize, like, how you can hurt a business like that. Like, you know, giving somebody a 1-star review for something so silly that maybe was out of your control instead of talking to someone, you know, can really, you know, bring down your average. I mean, you know, let's do some math here, you know, as a 1 and a 100 is going to really bring you down. Mm-hmm. So I would just say be mindful of that as you are doing these reviews, because people do look at it on social media, whether you're on Yelp reviews or you know, Google reviews, whatever. People do look at it, and then most of them spend the time to look and go, why did they give them a one? Oh, didn't get a napkin. Okay, well, yeah. Okay.
See, I'm that one.
I think that was worth complaining about, you know.
I go to like the bad reviews. I'm like, ah, well, hell, that didn't really mean anything. You know what I mean? So yeah. But it's like you said, the most times the good ones, people don't leave. When they leave, I had a great experience. They don't leave a good review. It's, again, when they're upset and mad about something, they'll leave a review.
Yes.
And you and I talked about reviews the other day at dinner.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. At Waffle House, wasn't it?
No, this was the Hibachi. I haven't only been to Waffle House once this week. Thank you.
Really?
Proud of you, Danny.
Thank you.
Good job.
I used to live there. Now I don't. Now I'm dropping away. I'm down to 196.
What?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. I can't wait to see you naked, man. I'm sure it's amazing.
All that, just minus the Waffle House.
Huh? Exactly. See?
But I will just say, like, I guess when I do marketing, like, most of the marketing that I do is on Facebook, and some people will do Facebook posts and ads, but word of mouth is the number one. I would recommend, if you're going to put some in a magazine, make sure you put some kind of coupon that people have to bring to you, so you actually know whether it's reaching people, because, you know, given, you know, in a magazine, $500 a month or $200 a month for one ad or square, that's a lot of money out of your budget, so... You know, my employees want bonuses and money and stuff. So I'm more worried about paying them than I am worried about advertising and out on big papers. So.
No, I'm with you. Like I said, social media is crucial. That's where everyone's at now. Everyone's on social media.
Yep.
Now, quick question. Now, if you can go back to when you first started, what's something you wish you knew then that you do know now? Like...
What I wish I knew now? You know, I'm actually glad I didn't know how this was going to evolve. Like, I was, you know, I really have went from being 5 days behind the bar, being the barista, you know, helping people, which I do enjoy, to being now, like, stepping back away, being more of an owner, being able to just kind of sit back and kick back and have happy employees who are doing a great job for me. And I feel confident that... you know, the first year or two, I didn't leave or go on vacation anywhere. Now I go on like 2 or 3 vacations a year, just nice. Like get out of here. But I always feel like now I can leave without any anxiety in my life, you know. So, but I never knew how it was going to evolve. I was happy making coffee, and I still love when I'm there working and making cappuccinos and lattes. But I also am really happy that it's evolved into what it has, and then I can be proud of where it has happened and how it's grown. And a lot of people say, Sherry, you're so humble. You act like you didn't do anything to make this business happen. But, you know, in some ways, I do feel like I was just gifted it. I kind of fell into it. I was just open to the right opportunities and searching for them. I mean, you know, maybe, too, it was just the right, you know, energy trifecta again, everything just working together. And so I'm happy for it. But what did I know then that I don't know? Or I don't really know, because I didn't know anything about anything when I started. So now I know something, and I'm like, wow, I didn't know anything. And it was amazing that I actually got through this 6 years. So I don't know. Like, I didn't know anything, so I'm just glad I've learned a lot. How about that?
You've learned a lot.
So here's another question. Where do you see yourself in the next 6 years?
Well, like I said, we're about to sign either another 5 or 10 year lease, and I'm like, okay, you know, it just seems crazy to me to think that we may do a 10 year and be like, you know, projecting out for 10 years. Like, that just seems like crazy to me. So I see more growth. I mean, we do. I mean, I'm always toying with a different location or the situation that I'm in now, because it is in the downtown square. It's great and it's beautiful and homey and it has so much atmosphere, but it doesn't have a drive-through. So people who love their coffee want that. So my next idea would be something with a drive-through, maybe a food truck. I don't know. We'll see how it evolves. But right now I'm like coasting. I am coasting. So
I think you should go and put one right next door to, what is it, Starbucks. Shut them down. Shut down the machine.
Hey, if you could help me make that happen, you let me know. I appreciate that.
All right, well, time is starting to wind down. Excuse me. So I'll tell you what, tell everybody how they can contact you, like your Facebook page, where your location is, what, you know, let them know where they can come and get the best coffee in town and come see your pretty face.
Oh, gosh. Well, thank you, Danny. Okay, well, you guys can catch us at Leaf and Bean. We are at 22 West Court Square, Suite A. There are quite a few suites in that building. Suite A, and that is in Noonan, Georgia, 30263. Our website is www.leafandbeannoonan.com. It's all spelled out. Leaf and Bean Noonan. com. We did just launch a new website. We do DoorDash, so we do have some availability to order some stuff online. But yeah, definitely come and check us out. Come see what makes us unique. I will say all of our coffee is from Nicaragua. It's all hand-picked. It's all sustainably grown. So again, we really try to work with that organic flavor in our life. But our coffee is superb. So come and check us out. Try it.
That's it. You heard it right here, folks. If you want the best coffee in town, the best service, the best location, all new equipment, everything. You've done it all.
And we just remodeled a bunch of stuff, so come check it out.
You got to come check out Cher over at Leaf and Bean in Noonan, Georgia, folks. Come and see her. All right, folks, we are winding down. That is time. So remember, you are stronger than failure.
Stronger Than Failure, where we provide you with in-depth interviews with entrepreneurs on their struggles, victories, goals, and how they got started. We also give you the best tips, hacks, and information on sales, network marketing, credit, and mindset mastery. Entrepreneur and author, Danny Cole. Stronger Than Failure.